Okay, welcome back to the Investigative Journal on this Monday, November 24th, 2014 day. On our calendar, I'm your host, Greg Anthony, and you're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, and I'm here every night, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., so tell your friends to catch the show, and you can always get the replays, and I'll tell you how to do that later. But anyway, I'm going to come back to the Tony Alamo case today. I've been covering in depth for the last 4 or 5 months this story, as well as the Tupper Saucy story, his life, his writings, and what happened to him at the end, and how I contend that both men were framed for their outspokenness against the Vatican-led New World Order. And I like to use that term because that's exactly what we live under. And maybe we should just say Old World Order, and I can explain it. I've explained that to you on many shows in the past, and I can do that a little later as well in depth. But I wanted to concentrate on this, on Tony's case, and let me just give you a brief synopsis, a one-paragraph synopsis, if you haven't heard the show before. Tony started talking about the Vatican's control over our U.S. government, as well as trying to use the ecumenical movement, this kind of kumbaya approach to everything now, to basically gain control of churches and to infiltrate them, etc., etc., as well as showing that the beast, the Vatican, as it's pointed out in Revelations, is really at the controls of our country and has been since the beginning. And he started this way, way back in the 80s before a lot of people even had an idea of what we're talking about. I didn't know it back then, and I was a journalist. And so when I learned about it, I was in Rome. Tony was over here talking like that. I had no idea about it, and I learned the hard way living in Rome. I lived right there and covered the Vatican for a while and learned firsthand about their intrigues, first about their intrigues in banking and the Vatican Bank scandal there, and how they used that Vatican Bank as a money laundering operation for illegal money. Now, how can the Vicar of Christ do that? Well, how? Because they deceive you. They deceive you, and they use God and Jesus as a front. Tony pointed this out a long, long time ago and kept doing it. And his ministry kept growing, and he had three huge churches. And he would do radio shows all over the world, hours after hours on this subject. And, well, like I told you before, when this occurs and you get a large following, then they start coming after you. And they did. They tried to get him on IRS charges, bogus charges, and they did jail him for 4 years. He came out stronger than ever. And I guess if he would have just kept his mouth shut then, that was kind of the Vatican's warning, everything would have been fine. But he didn't. He talked even more. And so then they tried to get him on a sex charge, you know, like he has a bunch of, you know, his ministry with a lot of different people, and that failed. Well, they didn't give up, and they kept at it, and they kept at it. And we've had undercover guys that talked to us on this show, a couple that have testified on our show. And I don't like to use the word testify. They told the truth on this show regarding how they were employed by the FBI and to any way possible to infiltrate this church, find out any wrongdoing, and if not, set them up for it. And if not, maybe kill them. But the guys backed out. One of the guys backed out and told the truth. And then the FBI basically denies he ever worked for them like the CIA does, you know. And we know that's how they operate. So basically, they've been after him for years, and finally in 2008, the whole thing came to a head, and they swarmed this church as if it, you know, remember Waco? Well, Koresh made a mistake, and he had weapons on that grounds, and that gave him, you know, even if it was a cap gun, they would have come in with guns a flailing, and probably, so you got to really understand. And Tony understood the beast, and he even told me, and John Peeler even said, one of their strategies was to get Tony to arm himself, to get him to buy weapons. But he refused. He said, no, we don't need those here. So they couldn't do that. So they had to go about it in a different way. And let me explain what they do here. At that point, they had to figure out other means. And so instead of, you know, killing him off like they do so many others, like maybe Keith Green and William Cooper, which I'll touch upon in a minute, and others, they decided to do it in a different way, and that is to publicly humiliate him, to charge him with crimes that he didn't commit. And I say that not only as a... I say that if I was his defense attorney. And I say that as a radio broadcaster, I say, you know something? All the facts line up here as a setup. And when you really look at this case, I got really upset when I saw the media jump on this. And I'll get that to in a minute, because we're going to get into a little bit today on the generalizations of this case, and to drive it home to you. And then I'm going to get back to some of the custody issues, which really tell you that this is a setup. And that what I mean by the custody issues, I mean how they rounded up these kids of the ministry who were living there along with their parents, and how that was another effort to just destroy this ministry totally. I'll get to that in a minute. But when we look back at this raid, all of a sudden... You know, there are no weapons, but they still, you know, and when I say if David Koresh at Waco had a cap gun, that might have been enough. Because look at what they did in 2008 at his ministry in Falk, Arkansas. That was one of his churches. He had one in California and then in other places around the country. So they come to Falk, Arkansas. He wasn't even there. And if their crack investigators were so hot on his trail, they would have known where he was. But they did it as a show. And what they did is they came with, you know, their SWAT team, surrounded the ministry as if it was a, you know, a dangerous place to be. And these guys, their BTF uniforms, all in black, looking like stormtroopers with their, you know, machine guns out, come storming onto this ministry. And what did they find? Six or seven little kids playing on the swings. And that didn't deter them. Thank God one of those kids didn't have a cap gun, because one of those idiots with their helmets on might have gotten scared and shot them. And then they would have gotten off, because what they would have said, it was self-defense. You know, how often has that happened? Well, anyway, they round these kids up, they end up finding, Tony was on a speaking tour somewhere, and they found him in, he was in Arizona at the time. Later on, they arrested him. Well, they took these six kids and into custody, away from their parents. And then the next day, the judge issued an order to round up all the ministry kids all over the country. So they were after these kids. They ended up getting 36 or 37 of them, but parents were running for the hills, wouldn't you? You know, and for what? Now, I contend that if this wasn't a setup, and they treated everybody equally, I contend that this should have been done in every parish where there was an inkling that there was some kind of priest, you know, trying to get into the pants of some altar boy. You know? And think about it. I believe, and they don't do that. They don't do that with any of the... Yeah, what... Has there been any Catholic churches or schools shut down where the kids then, you know, the judge puts out an order to round up all the Catholic kids in the country because they're at grave danger? And I'm telling you, I believe that if you're sending your kid to a parochial school right now, they're in more danger than any of those kids were ever in the Alamo ministry. And that's why I believe this was a setup. That's why I believe this should be looked at. Because I believe this organization, the Vatican, has been protected from the beginning for all their evil doings because they work together with our government. They work together with our government for one thing, and that is to gain control of us, our mind, our body, our soul, and the whole shot. Now, again, and I met a lot of good priests, but I'm telling you, this thing has gotten so out of hand that, just think, why don't they stormtrooper these Catholic schools? It's only a Bible-believing ministries that they do this with. Think about it. And they're busy at work right now taking over the Protestant churches all over the world. You can go to a lot of different shows and get that spiritual aspect on this station. A couple guys on this radio station do a hell of a good job at that. And I recommend you look them up on this show, on this station. And they'll tell you about the ecumenical movement. They'll tell you how this differs in the Bible and all that stuff. And I know they do a good job at it. And I listen to them too. But the point I'm trying to make here is when they did this, their goal was to frame him to do it by a means. Look, they charged him with violations of the Mann Act. They finally found five or six kids they could coerce into lying, and they had to use the Mann Act. They couldn't come out and say he raped these kids or he did all these things, just like goes on in these with these priests. They couldn't, because that wasn't going on. They had to figure out a legal maneuver here. And the legal maneuver was this ancient Mann Act. I pointed out what that was and what the reason for the Mann Act, the reason for the Mann Act, folks, passed way back when, was to stop these pimps who were traveling with women who enslave a woman and transport her across state lines. And so it was dealt with these sex crimes with these pimps who were making money off these, you know, women enslaved and crossing state lines, so they could catch them on a state line violation and prove that this was going on. That's not exactly what was happening here. That's not the intent. The Mann Act's intent wasn't to frame a minister for going on a Bible trip with his ministry. And that's exactly what happened. And I tried to get, and I will again, I've started out by going over each count against him and how this occurred. But anyway, I think I've set the stage here. And one last thing I wanted to say before I get into some of the couple of parents had contacted me, and I've talked to a number of them who lost their children. Still, to this day, I've not gotten them back. And this happened in 2008. And what I did want to mention, the media frenzy after this. It was all set up. When this, you know, there was a, they had to, they were going to do this. I think it happened, they finally came down in this ministry in September of 2008. But they were going to do it in October, but there was a leak, a press leak. Now, what the hell is the FBI worried about getting to the press? You know, we, don't you think, don't you get it, people? We have, listen, just put yourself inside this FBI bureau. They're there, supposedly, for law enforcement. But, before they're going to raid this ministry, what do? They contact 150 media outlets to tell them what they're going to do. Now, does that make sense to you? Does that make any sense to you? Now, when's the last time they did the same thing when they were arresting a priest? And half the time, they don't even arrest these guys, these priests that are in violation. We get the tip of the iceberg all over the world, and we know what's going on in Ireland, in France, in Italy, in America, in Australia. I mean, you know the epidemic. You've seen it. You've read about some. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And when was the time they notified 150 media outlets? They're going in to arrest Bing Crosby, you know, at the Holy Mother Church. No. It doesn't happen. But here it does. Oh, yeah, they had, I mean, that the next day the stories were all over the place. New York Times, L.A. Times, big newspapers, big TV stations, and he was already convicted. Yeah? In the media. And you know what most Americans said at that time? Oh, we got this crazy Bible-believing minister who is a lecher, and he's going to jail and good. And then I'm starting to read afterwards, you know, and I see all how this works. I go to some blog, and there, you know, Matt Damon, that rich actor, you know? He comes out with one little statement like, oh, thank God this guy's in jail. Matt, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, stick with acting. You're pretty good at it. But did you convict this guy before even looking into it? Yeah. And do you care? No. And then Oprah Winfrey comes out with her BS. And that goes nationally, man. Does this guy have a prayer? No, he's sitting in jail right now for 175 years. And my God, I've watched him sit there. And I've read the stories. You know, sometimes he almost died a couple times. He's still going. He's still preaching. I talked to, you know, I've gotten sent some information on some of the inmates who go to him for counseling and things, and he's still trying. And my God, doesn't anybody hear this stuff? No, you just listen to Oprah Winfrey and all her billions, and then you'll listen to Matt, you know, listen to them. You know, The Color Purple was fine, Oprah. But don't get your dirty hands into the Vatican. I hate to say it. Watch my language. Because you're part of them, I know it. Because if you got all that money and all that time, you could research this. You don't want to. And you know if you did, you said one word, you'd be done. They'd figure out a way to get all your land and property and all the things. You wouldn't make a movie again. And maybe you could make an independent film about the truth. That would be nice. And then, Matt, if you looked into this story, your career would be done. But you've had a good one, so what do you need more money for? Hide it somewhere. You know? Tell the truth. Did you ever think about it? No. It's too hard. I think I'll just make another Born Identity movie or something. And then have the audacity to come out and talk about really important things. You know, stick into the acting world. I'm there myself. But at least when I come out, I look for the truth. Now, okay, so I made my point about the media. Now let's get into some of these, you know, the real things that talk about how they were trying to basically not only arrest Alamo, but put this get rid of this ministry totally. And how they had to do that was, the second step was to get the children. And then starts, you know, breaking up the families. And at that point, once they did that, the next step was their civil trial, which they've done, which one is done, and they've already got a judgment against the ministry for $560 million, the largest in Arkansas history. Can you believe this? Now, I think it was Thursday, because Friday I was off. I talked about Deborah Onversack and how she had lost her child, and she told me the whole story, and you can go back to my Thursday show to get that. But another parent had contacted me, and this is on the record, and so, you know, you can go to the court records and get this information. It's all public information. And the last week when Deborah sent me this letter, I asked her, I said, Deborah, do you want me? I understand the difficulty of this. Do you want me to use your name? I can be anonymous with this. And she says, no, go ahead. The truth has to be told. The story has to be told. So she's very courageous to do that, but I asked her first. I did not want to do that. Now, I know this story is a public record, because of a deposition and lying going on with the FBI, and this family, the Krantz family, had filed this, so it's public record. And I know they understand that, and I know when I use their names, this is well known in the public record. Now, I got a letter from Mr. Krantz way back when, and I told him I was going to get to this story. And this is just one of them, and we're going to cover some of these, because this really shows you. And I got to check the time here. Okay, we're 18 minutes into this, so I'll start out with it. 19 minutes, so I got 5 minutes this half hour. But I'll start out with this. Now, Mr. Krantz said that, you know, there's one piece of information I'm thinking of as I am listening to you talk about this case, and the people being harassed and hounded to help convict Pastor Tony Alamo. And he says, I personally wasn't close to any of the females involved in the suit or the conviction, but I'm one of the parents who lost 6 children to that federal effort. And what he's talking about there, folks, is that day when they come and stormtroopered that Fauk, Arkansas ministry. Now, he says, the FBI agent Randall Harris, who headed the harassment and was actually coaching the prosecution witnesses at Pastor Alamo's trial, was at just about all of my court hearings. And let me tell you something, there were many. Now he filed a he wanted to get his kid back. Early in my case, my lawyer approached me. Now listen to this. Offering that if I would cooperate with the FBI, Mr. Harris, okay, and help convict Pastor Alamo, that I would have my children back in 1 week. Now, give me a break. So, they're asking this man to make a decision. All right, I can get my children back or lie about Pastor Alamo, is what is going on here. He said he refused to cooperate, having known Pastor Alamo for over 35 years at the time and knowing that he was being framed on false charges. I couldn't do it. Now, how many of you out there would have lied? Ask yourself that. Now, he says this. So, look at what's going on early. The lawyer, his lawyer. Now, remember when I was talking about, I thought there was, his defense was very, Tony's defense in his criminal case was at best horrible. This shows you right here that that attorney might have been in cahoots with the FBI. Or maybe, what is he telling Mr. Krantz to do? He's telling him a lie, if that be the case. He's saying it kind of in a finagly lawyer way, like, but that's exactly what's going on here. Now, he said he refused to cooperate, knowing Pastor Alamo for 35 years, folks. Now, we'll get back to more of what he said. But let me tell you this. Let me use these last minutes here to tell you something. The more you look at this case and the little, you don't look at it from the public eye, what they give you on their 30-minute sound bites on these TV shows and all that kind of stuff. And you don't look at kind of how they can, lawyers, prosecutors, if you don't have a good defense, man, they'll take you to, you know how many people are in jail now that probably don't belong there? I mean, we got more per capita, more people in jail in the world than any country in the world. And we're supposedly the bastion of freedom. Give me a break. Now, what I'm getting at when you look at this case is the more little things that you start looking at, they all add up to one thing. That he's being framed. And now if you put this side by side to the Tupper Saucy case, now I remember Tupper Saucy was talking pretty hard and heavy about the Vatican, just like Tony. And what happened to him? They started out with the IRS, yes, just like they did with Tony. And what they did was they said, hey, basically behind the scenes, you shut up and, you know, you spend maybe a year in jail and then that's all over. And then he shuts up and but Tupper was tough just like Tony and kept talking even more. And he did research. He didn't go to jail. He said, I'm not going in there. I'll never get out. But what he did during those 10 years he was on the lam is he did research and he found out exactly what we're talking about on this show, that the Vatican's in charge. And he even found out that the prosecutor in his case was a Jesuit priest. And I contend to you, behind the scenes, in the same case, the same people were behind it as they were when Tupper Saucy proved it was a Jesuit prosecutor behind his frame job on IRS charges. These cases have a lot of similarities, folks. And when you add it all up, it comes out to basically, we have a huge, huge problem in this country. And it all starts out with media, with propaganda that you've been fed your total life. Now, we'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal. See you then.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's CrossTheBorder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's CrossTheBorder.org.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, so we're back on the Investigative Journal for the second half hour, and let's get right back at it. We're going over one of the parents who had lost their, who had their children, I'll just say it the way it is, kidnapped by the state of Arkansas in the Tony Alamo case, and we're going over one of his letters that he sent to me regarding this case, and it's really good insight, is what I'm getting at. And as the pieces all come together, you can see how this was a frame job to, one, get Lamo in jail for life, two, to destroy his ministry, and then three, to get all of his land and all of his holdings, which are extensive. And there was a this thing gotten to the point now since in 2014 that they had a civil case already, and they had a judgment in Arkansas for $535 million, the largest in the state's history. So you're seeing how this thing works. And Mr. Krantz here has filed public records and motions. He got a lawyer to try to get his child back, and it didn't work so far. Now I'm just going over some of the things on the inside. I've got the court records on this. And let's just get back to what he was saying. He's saying, so, you know, early on in his case, his lawyer approached him and offered that if I'd cooperate with the FBI, and that's Mr. Harris, and help convict Pastor Alamo, that I would have my children back, you know, as quick as he can snap your fingers. But he refused to cooperate, having known Pastor Alamo for 35 years, and knowing that he was being framed on these false charges. Now, the secret, Mr. Krantz says, the secret child court ran its course and terminated my parental rights. So here we have a state terminating someone's parental rights because of his belief system, his Bible belief system. Now, is that what this country is all about? And what does the state and the Vatican do? They create this kind of deception for you that these people are dangerous, that they're a cult, when in fact the Vatican's the cult, if you really look at it. But everybody likes them because they're big and powerful and, you know, they got a great thing going. Now they're going to bring in, you know, more people who are Catholic from these poor countries who had no choice. And I contend that many people from Mexico, if they knew this story or they had a chance outside of, you know, wandering around the fields trying to eat, because the Vatican took all their gold along with their corrupt politicians and all their money, they'd feel the same way I do about it. Now, they come over here brainwashed, and I'm not saying we're all been brainwashed. There's nothing wrong with that. But what are they bringing? Why are they doing this? So they have more loyal people who don't know the truth. And that's what Obama's goal was when he went executive order. I mean, how many executive order? I mean, why don't we just call him what he is? He's a king. And now, you know, and they're playing this political game with us. You know, executive order after executive order, blah, 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 opens the door to 5 million people and basically another, guess who's going to pay the brunt of this? The middle class. Obama, you pay for them. Get your rich people to pay for these people. I have no problem. Here's my deal. If I was the president and I wanted to do an executive order, here's what I've done. I would have said, listen, we can let all these 5 million illegals stay, but here's where they're going to go. They're going to go to all the homes of the CEOs in the country and live there for a while, because they got an Oprah Winfrey, you got a mansion, put up about 300 of them. Matt Damon, you got a mansion, put up another 300. And if you went through Hollywood, that would probably get rid of a million. So we got them all living with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro and all these people. They're living on their grounds. They got enough land. Then if we got more, then what we can do with them? So we can put them on golf courses. Oh, yeah, we can build homes and golf courses so those rich white idiots can't chase that little ball around. Okay, now we got rid of 3 or 4 million. Now, yeah, I mean, there's so many golf courses. And the rest, you know what we could do with them? We can put them in every Catholic church. And we could force the Vatican to pay for them to find housing and homes and food and everything else. And then I'm fine with this executive order. But when the brunt of this is going to fall on the American people, I'm against it. It's that simple. So take your executive order, King Obama, and put it where the sun don't shine. It's that simple. But we're going to have to live with it. We know that. I'm not saying revolt against it. I'm not saying run away from it. I'm saying you understand where these guys are coming from. Now, back to Krantz, Mr. Krantz, and what happened, you know, the abominations that are happening here right before our eyes. Do you hear that, folks? Even though there wasn't one shred of evidence that any of my 6 children had ever been abused in any way. Now, wait a minute. He lost 6 kids. Now, there were 6 kids on that ground. No, no, no. That wasn't 1 of 6. He lost 6. 6 times the pain. 6 times. Folks, they took 6. But he wouldn't lie. How many of you would do that? Oh, I bet you a lot of you would just turn tail and lie your butt off. And you know, when you think about it, I'm just going to let you think about it. Now, since the stealing of the children, now this is Mr. Krantz talking, since the stealing of children by the Department of Human Services is a two-step process, adjudication and termination, I had to appeal both processes to the Arkansas Supreme Court and then the United States Supreme Court. That's four separate high court appeals. Both higher courts rubber-stamped the lower court's decision without even addressing any of the issues appealed. Instead, they echoed the unsubstantiated accusations used in the lower court, which, of course, was also echoed by the media. So here we have it, folks. Let's just say this. If we had an honest judge on the federal court and the Supreme Court or one of these higher courts, you know, they could look into the, you know, all they're doing is, like he said, rubber stamping everything and saying, oh, this is the way it is. This is really what they're saying. This is the way it is in America, folks, and you better like it. I'm a judge with a black robe, and I know that this is the truth. You cannot speak up against the Vatican or anybody like that works for them, and if you do, you're going to lose your children, and that's okay in America. That's the way it's going to be, and we're going to take them, and we don't care. Because you got to fall in line. That's what they're saying, and that's what the kind of judges you got making hundreds of thousands of dollars and walking around with those robes on, you know. It's really disgusting when you really think about it. Mr. Krantz goes on and makes a great analogy here. He says, I used to wonder how the German people could have suffered Hitler's slaughter of so many innocent Jews, but now it is perfectly clear to me how it was done. And the courts and media were very efficient tools to demonize the Jews to the point that the general public hated them and believed they deserved to be exterminated. And he says, this, by the way, is very analogous to the process used to crucify Lord Jesus. The betrayal, the false witnesses, corrupt judicial system, manipulation of masses, murder. And in a sense, Mr. Krantz makes a great analogy, and I hope during this period of this holiday period, when all of us are going to start feeling happy and, you know, start doing all these crazy things like running around grocery, you know, stores, wrapping things in little bows and all, you know, let's get, what's the perfect present for this person, you know, when you really get a chance to, you know, get away from the hectic life and the difficult life you have of choosing whether you should get a red tie or a green tie or whether you should get this toy or that toy for your child. Think about the real meaning of what's going on here. Think about what happened to Jesus. Think about what happened to the Jews. Think about what happened to Alamo and Tupper Saucy and many, many others in our country who have suffered the same fate. They're not going to have such a nice time this holiday season. And maybe if we woke up and didn't stand for it anymore, they would. But no one really in this country wants to get to the truth. I'm convinced of it totally. And I really think it's a mistake. Look, I'm not saying you're going to have to go out and protest. I'm not even telling you. You don't even have to lift up a finger. All you got to do is think, and that sometimes is harder than walking 100 miles. And this case shows it. So, Mr. Krantz, he's going to spend this holiday season without his children, realizing he tried everything he could, but he wouldn't lie. Then we got Deborah Ondrasak is going to do the same thing, and many, many other people. Then we're going to have that whole ministry, Tony in jail, away from, you know, his life. They're taking their money. They're taking everything away. And they're going to celebrate that they, and you know, around the world, they're going to have all this stuff, and the Vatican is going to pretend like they're Jesus Christ on earth. They're going to be celebrating everywhere, singing all those Vatican songs, everybody praising, when in fact, they are using it as a deception. I believe if you pray to Jesus Christ alone, if that's your religion, you know, if that's your faith, but yet practiced it every day, and all of us did that. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to go there and swarm the jail that Tony's in. I'm saying if we all understood this, this would not happen. They would have no one to follow them. And that's the reason they came down on people like Tony Alamo, like Tupper Saucy, like William Cooper and some other people who tried to get to you, tried to tell you this, because they were getting a big, big following. Yes, a big following. Now, before, you know, I don't know if I have the time today, because let's check this out. I'm not sure if I have the time, but we're moving along here. I got about 12 minutes to go. It's amazing how fast time goes when you're talking about these things. But what I wanted to do was, there's certain little elements in that Bert Krantz case that are interesting, and they're legal. And so, like I say, every time I begin that legal road down the legal road, it gets a little complicated. Even, you know, but he, the documents that he that I found were concerning some lying going on in the beginning by the Department of Human Services and certain other FBI people that were basically lying about certain things. And Krantz brought it up in a motion to quash a deposition because of the lying that went on in the first deposition. And again, we have probably an attorney that, I don't know whether he did a good job in the deposition or not, but I would gather he should question these lies that Mr. Krantz had to do afterwards. So he files this motion, and then the defense files their motion. The judge then, after all of this, I looked at what the judge, in the end, allowed a second deposition. I haven't yet got that second deposition, but I don't think he had any choice. I think it's one of the, but he figured, well, we can lie our way out of the second one anyway, so let's give the plaintiff here the benefit of the doubt. But I'm going to show you how it led up to that. It shouldn't even got to that point. But I'm not going to do it right now because it gets complicated, and I don't think I can do it in 10 minutes. I gave you an overview, and I'm going to come back to that, so it'll give you a reason to come back to the show. But some of these thoughts, some, you know, that go on regarding this case and people that have been persecuted like this before. Now, you know who William Cooper is, do you? Yeah, he wrote a book. He was kind of, he was really respected by some of the patriot communities way back in the 90s, right? Now, Cooper was killed. Now, many claim he was a martyr for the cause. And, but I contend that they, with Tony Alamo, they took a different route here. They had to defame him, disgrace him, imprison him, and imprison him for life, because this has a better outcome for the Vatican and their followers, doesn't it? Because very, very few people will stand up for someone accused of what he was found guilty on. And I know that because there's people that come to me and they think I'm crazy for doing this. But I'm not. Because I looked at this case deeply and I said, man, this case has the elements of everything we talk about in reality. We're not just theorizing here. And that is why I'm in the process of writing this stage play. I want people to see it on stage, because once you see it, I think it will stay with you. And I realize that in our lifetime, we may not get to this. We may not get justice. But I want this to live on somehow, even after I'm gone. And that's all I can do. But there really isn't anything more shameful in the world, when you think about it, folks, than not looking at a whole case and standing up for someone accused of something and just basing it on what you hear in the media and basing it on these generalities. And I said, very few people are going to stand up for him because of what he was found guilty on, because they still believe in the system. That's wrong. I think if you understand the system, then you would stand up for him. You see, and his words have not, see, they can put him in jail, and his words don't get any stronger now, as his life is intact. No one tried to kill him over it, right? Oh, yeah, he did something wrong, and he's in jail. So, basically, folks, a slow death in prison here, and that's really what it is with Tony Alamo, is a better approach for the beast, isn't it? And that's why they never let up from the beginning to the end of this case, until they succeeded right from the beginning when they started to go after him for IRS charges, for handing out pamphlets in Hollywood when he started his ministry way back in the 80s and late 70s. And it's all culminated in that. Now, he doesn't have any martyr status like Cooper and all these others, Alberto Rivera. Remember the stories they did on how he was killed, most likely, and others? No. But he's locked up. And in essence, they feel hopelessly silenced for good. But is he silent? No. His words can still live on, I think. They can live on through, if you go to his website, you can read some of the things he wrote that William Cooper even quoted in his books when he wrote those initial Patriot books about this connection. He quoted Tony's articles, The Fugitive Pope, and some other things, and kind of took things right out of Tony's mouth and put them right in the book and said, listen to this man. And he can live on through people that will look at this case and say, man, what really happened? But the real thing I worry is if he's really silenced, if he's not silenced, okay, who's going to listen anyway in the present condition of the American public? Now, I contend that more people listen overseas and more people listen in third world countries than here. And I contend that. And I'm not basing that on facts. Maybe somebody can send me facts regarding that. But that's how brainwashed and how shallow this country has become. And it's right here for us to see. And that is my basic thrust in this show today, is to get you to the point. My goal is to just look at this case. Give it a chance. And that's you too, Matt Damon, if you ever... And somebody send it to him. Please. Send this show to him. Send it to Oprah Winfrey. Send it to one of... Well, to get to those people, you're going to have to send it to, first, their media contact. Then you're going to have to send it to their guy who drives their limousine. And then you're going to have to send it to the guy who washes the limousine. Then you're going to have to send it to the guy who takes care of their lawn. And then you're going to have to send it to the guy who walks their dogs. Then you're going to have to send it to their agent. And then you're going to have to send it to their manager. And then you're going to have to send it to their screener, who is going to tell them how to respond. Or they may not even get it because they say, oh, we can't get our boys involved in this stuff. They're too important to us. And the reason those people won't give it to them is because they got a job and they don't want to lose their job. So the chances of them ever getting what this show is probably as much as if you were in a sailboat out in the ocean and a bottle came up with my show in it. That's about how, you know, by the way, why doesn't somebody do that? Get a waterproof container that floats and throw it in the ocean with this show in it. See who gets it. All right? Well, anyway, some more big ideas for the holiday season. We've got about 3 minutes to go. And that was my goal, really, to get this story out a little bit. And that, now you think that's my goal in every show, what I do with Tony. No, I have specific goals sometimes with his show, but this one was basically geared towards saying, listen, how many people are really going to listen anyway? But we do get some, and I'm going to tell you we get some, because I get more and more people wanting to know more about this. And like I say, you don't have to believe what I say. You have to just put it side by side with what other people are telling you. And what most of America believes because of that false information, I think. And put it side by side. That's all I'm saying. And then see what, you know, washes out. And through this, if you know nothing about what I talk about Vatican involvement, maybe you'll look into that. And then maybe you'll look into something else. And then maybe you'll wonder, why did that happen to my neighbor? And my God, wouldn't it be a nice cascading effect if it really snowballed into something great for you? For you, individually. I don't care about the millions. And maybe that's the way Tony feels sometimes when he's in jail. Maybe he just cares about that inmate next to him. And he still does care about the people because he tries to communicate with the people in the ministry as best he can. And we'll continue with a lot of this story because I believe it synthesizes a lot what we're trying to say in this show in a real way. And my hope in every holiday season, you know, I wish the best for all, but my hope in every holiday season is for another person to see the deception that goes on in the Vatican and in our government and to be able to comprehend it and live with it and live a productive life and tell others so it grows and so you don't die. You know, my fear isn't dying. My fear is dying a Dumbo, you know? And I vowed I wouldn't die a Dumbo, at least on certain things. Now, I know I'm going to die as a Dumbo on a number of issues, but this one's really important, and this is one you don't want to die being a Dumbo. And trust me when I say that, it's the most important of all. Because if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, then don't believe in the people that are deceiving you, representing Him. Look to the truth. Look, you know, Mr. Cooper wouldn't lie. I mean, Mr. Krantz didn't lie. He sought the truth. And he paid a heavy price. But anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow, Tuesday, on the Investigative Journal with more stuff. So you have a good evening and good night.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason.